welcome to speak to us today, Dr. Gillespie. Dr. Gillespie, we have among us many talented individuals. We have among us some authors, some speakers, and Terry is both. And so welcome, Terry.
Thank you. Okay, did I get that turned on? It's working? Yay. As we learned from when I tried to put something together for Steve and Beth, I'm not always the most adept at technology. So it's great to see you all. It's great to be here. It's a privilege to be part of this congregation and to share with you in this way. So for my scripture passage, I'm going to be talking from 2 Corinthians 3, chapter 18, which reads, "And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." I love this description by the Apostle Paul of the goal of the spiritual life. It's not simply a matter of finding salvation in Christ. That's only the first step. But that isn't all that God has for us. No, God desires to transform you and me into the image of Christ in our personal character, our actions, and our attitudes. He's not content with just getting us saved, getting our theology all straightened out, or getting us to heaven when we die. There's something that he is doing in us now, if we will cooperate in the process. He is transforming us, as the passage says, with ever-increasing glory. Or as the old translations say, from glory to glory. That's what God wants us to experience. I've been a fan of Star Trek since I was in junior high. Any other Star Trek fans out there? Okay, yeah. I'd come home after school and I'd plop down in front of the television to watch the latest adventures of the crew of the Starship Enterprise as they had exciting experiences during their 5-year mission in space. Of course, I enjoyed the great characters and the kind of outlandish plots. But one of the things that really intrigued me about Star Trek were the technological advances that they imagined would take place in the future. The cool weapons, such as the phasers, the medical technology, the food replicators, and traveling at warp speed. Above all, I was fascinated by the idea of instantly beaming a person from one location to another by way of the transporter. They'd stand on the platform, and Scotty would pull down the lever, they'd shimmer for a moment, and they'd disappear, only to reappear on the surface of a nearby planet. Imagine that. Imagine being able to travel from one place to another without having to use any time or effort. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if such a thing were actually possible? If I wanted to have lunch in New York City after church, I wouldn't have to board a plane or drive for days to get there. Instead, in the blink of an eye, I could be checking in at my favorite restaurant in Manhattan. So quick, so efficient. And consider the savings on fuel. Yes, I really wish that the transporter technology was a real thing, rather than just the imagination of a science fiction writer. When it comes to the spiritual life, I wonder if some of us have been trained to expect something kind of like this to happen. That one moment we're on the outside of God's kingdom. And then, by conversion, we're instantly transported to spiritual maturity. But I think we all know that isn't the way it works. If we expect instantaneous spiritual growth, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. If we are expecting change to just happen within us, we're sure to become discouraged when it doesn't. Spiritual growth is a process. Spiritual growth is a path. Spiritual growth is a journey. As Dallas Willard once wrote, the gospel is less about how to get into the kingdom of heaven after you die, and more about how to live in the kingdom of heaven before you die. I suppose that's why the metaphor of the spiritual journey is one that we see used in Scripture and throughout the history of the church. We see the children of Israel wandering through the desert for 40 years, 40 years, before they finally reach the promised land. Dante makes a journey from hell and through purgatory on his way to paradise in the Divine Comedy. And John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress follows the arduous journey of that one man, that pilgrim, step by step toward God's kingdom. When Jesus wanted to train his disciples to experience all that God had for them and to spread the message of God's grace, what did he do? He didn't set up a stationary school in Nazareth and send out invitations for people to come there to study. No. He took to the road. And alongside him, on his journeys, were his disciples. They traveled with him. They had unexpected experiences, and they learned their lessons along the way. Every new village they visited, or mountain they climbed, or hillside where they stopped along the way, each of these things offered new things for them to learn about God and his kingdom. And along each step of the journey, there was also a lot of unlearning to do as well. They had to change their way of thinking. They had to adjust their expectations, learn to handle their emotions in different ways. As we read through the Gospels together this fall, I think it's worthwhile to pay attention to Jesus' primary teaching method. He rarely gave profound theological lectures. No, he turned everything that his disciples saw and experienced on their journey into a teachable moment through stories and parables and examples. And today, I think Jesus still calls you and me to hit the road with him. If we're just waiting around for some kind of instantaneous transformation, we'll surely be disappointed. Instead, Jesus wants us to travel a spiritual path with him, learning all along the way and being changed by the experience. It starts by stepping outside of our comfort zones. Truth is, if we're honest with ourselves, our comfort zones really aren't that comfortable after all, anyway. We must not be content with who we are, but look toward who we are becoming. To grow in the spiritual life, we must move beyond the satisfaction with who we are right now, today, and look toward the fulfillment that comes by allowing ourselves to be stretched and challenged and changed. As Paul writes in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In other words, we'll know how to live. In this passage, Paul is emphasizing that change comes only as we put aside our normal experience of what it means to be a human being and instead embrace the kind of life, that different kind of life that God intends for us to live. I'd like to suggest this morning that we experience our spiritual growth through movement, through change, through transformation, through going from one place in our lives to another. I'd like to suggest there are lots of smaller individual journeys that make up or the big journey of spiritual growth in our lives. Here, for example, are three of the roads that we're invited to travel along on the road to maturity. First, we're called to move from fear to trust. Fear is one of our natural responses in life. There are so many things around us that are outside of our control and that challenge our peace of mind. I mean, honestly, sometimes fear can be a healthy thing. That's when it causes us to avoid a threatening or a dangerous situation. But it's easy to fall into existing in a state where we are always worried about something and always uncertain about the future. Fear is one of the most debilitating of emotions. When we are afraid, we will often feel paralyzed, as though we can't move forward in our lives, which is why so often when God is introduced into the life of a biblical character, what is the phrase that we hear? Fear not. As Frederick Buechner so wisely wrote, kind of describing our life here on planet Earth, here is the world, beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid. God wants to move us from a place of fear to a place of trust, a place where we put our future into His hands. Trust comes from finding the courage to keep hope alive, no matter what the circumstances of the current moment. For whatever we are going through, we are not alone. God is with us. That doesn't mean that we won't have bad things happen to us from time to time, but it means that we can find a supernatural strength to see us through them. We don't have to remain in fear. We can learn to trust. Second, we're called to move from self-absorption to empathy. Our natural state is to be focused on ourselves. Think about babies. Think for a moment about what it was like when you were a baby, right? A baby doesn't carefully ponder when it's hungry whether, well, mom might be kind of tired. I think she's a little bit stressed out. She seems like she's at the end of a rope. I just think I'll just be quiet. No. What does a baby do? It cries loudly. It wails so that it can get its needs met. And as a child, that's the only way they have of letting us know. But I wonder if some of us never fully grow beyond that particular state of being an infant. For our focus tends to be, for all of us, if we're honest, on getting our own needs met. We tend to naturally be self-absorbed. Our first question in every situation is usually this one. Well, how is this going to affect me? God wants to help us move from a place of self-absorption to a place of empathy. Empathy is about seeing from a perspective outside of yourself, a perspective outside of your own, becoming more attuned to the needs of other people. It is when our heart is moved with compassion. Without empathy, we inhabit the very small world of our own making. It's a place where we're comfortable because we don't have to concern ourselves with the needs of others. We might tip our hat toward offering a little help, maybe send a little money to an organization that helps meet needs, but we don't let it get in the way of our own agenda. But with empathy, we become enabled to make a deeper difference in the world because we not only have an intellectual grasp of the needs and the struggles of others, but we feel them at the deepest level of our heart. Empathy helps us vicariously inhabit the lives of others with our imagination. And that is the first step to doing something positive to change that situation. We don't have to remain in a self-focused state. We can learn to be more empathetic. Third, we are called to move from loneliness to solitude. The fundamental truth for all of us is that though we may have wonderful family and friends, when it comes right down to it, we have to face life alone. No one can live your life for you. And no one really fully understands who you are deep down inside. Frankly, maybe we're not even sure we want them to. We're often a puzzle to ourselves, much less to others. We come to realize that maybe we're not as essential to others and to their lives as we might want to think we are. We long for connection, but sometimes we push others away because of our fear of being fully known. In the face of this reality, we are sometimes very lonely at the deepest core of our being. So what do? We spend a lot of emotional energy trying to avoid being alone. For many, being alone is their single greatest fear. So we fill our lives with noises and distractions in hopes that we can cover up the loneliness. We avoid coming face to face with who we really are. But God wants to move us from a place of loneliness into something different, an acceptance of solitude. He wants to help us face ourselves as we really are and allow Him to enter that space of loneliness and to fill it with His love, to rid us of the fear of being alone. For we are never alone. He is always with us. We don't have to be lonely. We can experience the beauty of being alone with Him. A place of solitude with the one who knows us best and loves us most. And these are just three examples of the kind of movements that we're making in our lives. Of course, there are many other movements that we're called to make in the process of growing spiritually. We can move from shame to grace. We can move from cynicism to an attitude of childlike wonder. We can move from the need to have everything completely figured out to an embrace of life's mystery. We can move from cocooning ourselves to protect our emotional safety to learning to be more vulnerable to others. We can move from greed to gratitude and giving. We can move from manipulating others for our own purposes to experiencing real and true intimacy. Looking more closely at each of these movements could be a series of sermons. And I won't preach them all today. But my goal is to challenge you to think about where you are spiritually and where you would like to be. To be willing to set aside your comfort zone in at least one area and stretch toward something greater that God has for you. Sometimes we don't grow because we think we have to be changed in every area immediately, all at once. And none of us can really do that. But maybe by focusing on one thing at a time, we can actually begin to make a difference. Don't fear. It's not all up to you and me. All our best efforts to become a better person will never achieve anything without His strength and His presence in our lives. But He expects our cooperation in the process of spiritual growth. Grace doesn't mean we just sit by and hope that He will magically transform us. Grace means that He will empower us as we seek to follow His way. It isn't by our strength, but it assumes our cooperation. As we take the steps, He creates something new within us. From glory to glory, He is changing you and me. So how do we kickstart these spiritual movements toward maturity in our lives? First, we must be honest about where we are right now. We must be dissatisfied with the current state of our soul and long to be changed. If we don't see the places where we need to be rehabilitated and healed, we will most likely just learn to be comfortable with our spiritual deficiencies. We'll label them as harmless personal quirks, make excuses for them, or we'll be content with saying, well, that's just who I am. We'll settle for spiritual immaturity, even though it continues to bring pain and struggle to our lives because, well, that's just what we're used to. So we must be honest with ourselves about the true state of our soul. We must want to grow into the person that Christ intends us to be. We must long for a spiritual transformation, or we'll likely be stuck in the place where we are right now. Second, we must refine the focus of our lives. We'll never really change until we have a vision for the ways our lives could be different, the ways we could be different. We'll never grow beyond our loneliness until we learn to embrace our aloneness as solitude, until we cease to be afraid of the inner silence and start allowing ourselves to listen to God instead of always chasing every distraction that comes our way. We'll never become more empathetic until we see that there's a better way of living than being lost in self-absorption, until we cease to be content with chasing our own happiness and contentment and start asking what the deepest needs of others might be and how we might find a way to meet them. We'll never overcome debilitating fear until we place ourselves into God's hands with an attitude of trust, until we cease to value our own safety and comfort and security over the adventure of living a life that embraces some risks, knowing that God always has us in His watchful eye, that God's got this. Third, we must open ourselves up to change by learning to make good choices, both big and small, each and every day. For real spiritual growth involves the process of an accumulation of small choices. Every small good choice that we make strengthens us to make the next one. Every day will bring its own challenges, and if we choose to rise to them, we're taking that next step along our spiritual journey. So in our spiritual journey, we must learn to listen to what our lives are trying to tell us. We must pay attention. We must be honest about who we are and where we are. We must have a sense of the kind of person God desires to make us into and where He is leading us. And we must be cognizant of the reality that we aren't going to be transformed by the strength of our willpower or our intellectual cleverness or by forcing ourselves to be just a little more pious. While there's no magic wand that we could wave over our lives, we do not walk alone and we do not walk without guidance. We have an ever-present companion on our journey. Through prayer, we have the opportunity to get more honest with God, to put into words what we are struggling with and what we are struggling toward. Through prayer, we open our hearts and we make ourselves more vulnerable, ready and available to be changed, to not only speak, but to listen, to hear the voice of God in the deepest part of our being. Through relationships with others, we can find the encouragement and challenge and advice that are so essential for spiritual growth. Listening to the voices of those who are traveling the road of transformation alongside of us can help us avoid unnecessary sidetracks and detours and from getting tripped up by the potholes. The spiritual journey was never intended to be a completely individual endeavor. We not only need God, we need each other. And that's how He has designed it. And then, through the scriptures, we have a map that we can follow. An individually adaptable GPS for the often confusing path that we walk through life. In the Bible, we can find the wisdom, the challenge, the strength, and the truth that we need to be transformed. And as we read the scriptures, they can be a mirror in which we can examine ourselves honestly and see where there is still work to be done. The Bible is so much more than a collection of inspiring thoughts or a group of dogmatic statements. It is a place where we can begin to understand what our lives can be if we're willing to pursue our course in obedience and submission and truth and faith. They are a place where God can be met anew. What we're doing as a congregation, reading the Gospels together over the next few months, is a way, I think, of bringing all three of these tools together. We read the scriptures together. We pray together, and we walk alongside each other in the adventure of faith. So instead of a beam me up, Jesus, kind of a faith, let's decide to make the choices that move us into a spiritually mature life. Let's be ready to be changed from glory to glory into His likeness and image, as we travel the path that He has laid before us. Spiritual growth is simply God at work within us. So let me close with a question that you can ponder. In what areas of your life is God currently inviting you to be transformed? In other words, you might put it this way. What spiritual project is God calling you to undertake in this season of your life right now? Where does He want to change you? Where do you know you want to be changed? Say yes to that project and begin the journey anew. Amen.